right. We'll turn again to Ruth chapter 2. And we'll seek the Lord in prayer as we come to message for this afternoon. Father, we thank thee again for the rejoicing in the heart of the Christian, that knowledge of sins forgiven and of peace with God truly brings joy to our hearts. And so we pray as we come to the message of the gospel this afternoon, that message that has set us free, may it thrill us over and over again. May we, as we listen to the good news of Jesus Christ and of his power to save, may it continue to thrill us. May we never lose the joy of hearing what the Lord has done for us, that we should be part of his kingdom and part of his inheritance. May we never cease in marveling over all that the Lord has accomplished for us. So may we never cease in praising him and in telling others of what he has done for us. We pray that thou would glorify thy name. May thy word be precious to us this afternoon. We ask again, in and through that name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm returning this afternoon to the book of Ruth, to the chapter 2, and we want to look at some verses beginning at verse 4. Last time out in chapter 2, we were introduced to Boaz, who we identified as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's described as a kinsman, and he's about to become the redeemer of Ruth. And so he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also identified Ruth as being a type of a new Christian, and it was her hap, although we saw that it was really the plan of God that she happened into a field that belonged to Boaz. And so what we're going to see increasingly over the next number of messages is that deepening relationship between Ruth and Boaz. And one of the important factors in that development is the field of Boaz. There's no way for us to really overstate the importance of the field of Boaz and in the events that are about to follow. And so we want to look at the field of Boaz this afternoon. Now, when we read of fields in the Bible, they're often symbolic of the lost world around us. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." And the fields there, of course, that the Lord was referring to were the multitudes around us that are lost and without a Savior. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 38, we find that it's the countries of the world that are symbolized by a field. Very plainly, the Savior said, the field is the world. Now, I think in the case before us, the field of Boaz, we have a picture and a type of the church. The field of the earthly Boaz is symbolic of the church of the heavenly Boaz. And so we'll call it this afternoon the church of Boaz, this field in which Naomi is working. And as I've said already, it becomes an important factor in the development of this relationship between Boaz and Ruth. And of course, the same can be said to be true in our Christian life and in our spiritual growth. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an important factor in our relationship with our Lord. Now, it's possible to go to a good church and not be a Christian, but you can't be a good Christian and not go to church. The Lord's church is essential for the development of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at this field of Boaz, this little picture of the church, and glean some truths from this passage of Scripture this evening. So I draw your attention to verse 4 and see, first of all, the Lord's presence in his church. We read that Boaz came from Bethlehem. Now, if ever there was anything that pointed forward to our Savior and Boaz as a type of him, these words surely must ring clear within our hearts, that Boaz came from Bethlehem. What's he going to do? Well, he's visiting his field. He comes from Bethlehem, and he's now present in his field. And of course, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is ever present in his church. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, as the Lord writes seven letters to the seven churches, we read in the first verse of the second chapter of Revelation that unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now the seven stars were representative of the pastors of the churches, and the candlesticks were representative of the churches themselves. And John saw the Lord walking in the midst of the candlesticks. He placed the Lord Jesus Christ as being present in the midst of his churches. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, we read these words, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So wherever and whenever God's people gather together for worship and praise, the Lord has promised to be in their midst. He is present. That's why we encourage you to come and gather with us, not only upon the Lord's Day in our morning and our afternoon services, but to come to the prayer meeting, the Bible study in the midweek. And if you can, to come to the Friday morning meeting, because where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there present with them. It ought to thrill our hearts to think that we can go to a place where the Lord has promised to be present. Yet how often we miss out on the presence of the Lord because we do not value the opportunities to gather together with one another week by week in the appointed services of the church. We miss out on the presence of the Lord. A number of years ago, there was a pastor in Washington, D.C., that pastored a church that the president of America on that day would have attended occasionally. And one day the pastor received a call. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was an inquiry from a journalist from the local newspaper, and he asked, will the president be in the services tomorrow? To which the pastor replied, he says, I don't know, but I know that the Lord will be there. And that's important for us. As a pastor, my heart is filled with joy over the folks that attend the services at the house of God. And my heart is filled with concerns over those who are absent. And yet, regardless of who is present and who is absent, my heart is filled with praise and knowing that the Lord is present. And whether there be few that gather with us or many, surely the most important part is that the Lord is here. Boaz has come from Bethlehem to be in his field. And we have been promised the Lord's personal presence in his church. So when we see Boaz coming to his field, he's paying a personal visit, much to the delight of those that are there present. And I know that the Lord is always present when believers assemble together. We know that the Lord is here with us, but there are some times that we are perhaps more conscious of his presence than at other times. There's times that the Lord draws near and his presence thrills our souls. We know that he's always present, but we love it when that intimate fellowship with the Lord becomes something real and exciting to us. Now, sometimes it comes with a word of conviction and challenge. I'm not confessed as to how many times I'm confronted at the door of the church. Has somebody been speaking about me? Has somebody been saying something about me? Whispering in your ear so that you can introduce that point in your service. No one's been whispering behind your back. But maybe the Lord was speaking to you. Don't neglect that. Don't see that as anything else but as something precious, that the Lord has been here and has been speaking directly to your heart. I don't speak to the heart. I speak to the ear. And sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other ear. But if it registers with your heart, rejoice that God has been here and speaking to you. And sometimes it'll be a word of conviction. I understand that. I stand convicted many times behind this pulpit over the things that I say. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a word of counsel or advice. Or maybe it's just to let you know that the Lord is near, that his everlasting arms are thrown around you, that you're forever abiding in his presence. Well, there are times that the presence of the Lord thrills our soul when he comes to visit in that real and special way. Oh, how glorious it is when the heavenly Boaz comes to his field. Now, in the case of Boaz, it's unlikely, doubtful, that he spent every hour of every day in his field. He probably only visited upon occasions. But I'll point out something to you. Even when he wasn't there in person, he had a representative there at all times. Because in verse 5 we read that Boaz said to his servant that was set over his reapers. So Boaz had someone over the field that acted in and on his behalf, and in the servant, the will and plans and the desires of Boaz were carried out on a continual and a daily basis. And the servant of Boaz was always present. Now you'll notice something important about this servant. He is unnamed. He is unnamed. And there in the Bible are several unnamed servants. There's the unnamed servant of Abraham that went in search of a bride for Isaac. There's the unnamed servant of Joseph that was sent to bring his brethren home. There's the unnamed servant here in Ruth chapter 2 that watches over the field and the reapers of Boaz. Now, why am I stressing the fact that this servant is unnamed? Because the unnamed servant, in many cases, is always a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And they are unnamed in the fact and the reason being that the Holy Spirit does not seek to draw attention to himself, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose as a word of warning, we should say that any church or religious grouping that seeks to emphasize the Spirit of God over and above the Savior himself, we must note carefully, because that is not the Spirit's business. In fact, the Lord Jesus said that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He will not draw attention to himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God does not draw attention to himself. He draws attention upon the Savior. He is the unnamed servant. And as such, then, he is the unseen guest at every service. He's the unseen guide. He is the unseen guard, the unseen gift every time we gather together. The Lord Jesus is present in the person and the work of his Holy Spirit. And as such, then, the Holy Spirit is given unto the people of God, and he is the one who brings life and guidance, and is the one who teaches and brings us to the Savior. He captures our attention. He ought to control our activity. He ought to conform us unto the standards of Christ. He's the one who causes additions to be made to the church. The Lord is present in his church. He is not seen, but he is sensed. He is not visible to the eye, but he is vocal to the heart. We can't walk up and shake him by the hand, but he can come and stir us up to the very core of our being. We cannot touch him, but he often touches us. He is ever present. He is our master's servant in the field. He watches over the field and over the reapers. And so we see Boaz, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into his field. And he is present with his people. He's present in his church. Now, not only do we see the Lord's presence in his church, we learn something about the Lord's people in his church. And you'll notice in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, there's a reference made to the reapers. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, verse 5, Boaz said unto a servant that was set over the reapers. Verse 6, the servant that was set over the reapers. Verse 7 again, verse 7, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers. So there's reference made to the reapers in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. The reapers are a type of the Lord's people in his church. So what can we say about them? Well, they're assembled together. They're in one place. They're in Boaz's field. A person and a place and a purpose has brought them all together. They're the reapers of Boaz gathered into Boaz's field in order to carry out the work of the harvest there. A person, a place, and a purpose has brought them together. Surely the church is where the Lord's people gather. They congregate and assemble, and they don't forsake the assembling of themselves together. And the plan of God for his people is for them to be together in his church, working and laboring for him in those harvest fields. So when we think about the reapers of Boaz, it wouldn't have been proper for them to have been in another field. It wouldn't be right at all. Can you imagine a reaper calling the servant that was over the field and saying, I know I'm supposed to be working in the field of Boaz today, but if it's okay with you, I think I'll go to another field today. I'm not sure what the servant would have said. I don't think he would have been too happy. He wouldn't have said, don't worry about it, go and enjoy yourself somewhere else. Hope you come back soon. We were never short of excuses when it comes to church attendance. Think of a church that had what they described as a no excuse Sunday. And the advertisement in the local newspaper read, please join us at church next Sunday. We want to make it possible for everyone to attend, so we're having a no excuse Sunday. It says cots will be placed in the vestibule for all that say that Sunday's their only day of rest. Steel helmets will be provided for those who have said that the church will cave in if ever I come. Blankets will be furnished at the door for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think it's too hot. Hearing aids will be provided for those who think the pastor speaks too softly, and cotton wool for those who think he preaches too loudly. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites who are present, and relatives will be made available for those who like to go visiting on Sundays. Meals will be provided for those who cannot both go to church and cook Sunday dinner at the same time. And one section of the service will be devoted to trees and grass and flowers for those who like to worship God and nature. Finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas decorations and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. No excuse Sunday. The reapers were found in the field. They weren't at home. They weren't lazing around. They weren't wandering. They weren't somewhere else. They were in the field of Boaz, and they were there for a purpose. We ought to take the attitude and example of Ruth that you read in verse 7, "So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." She came to the field and she didn't want to leave. So they were assembled together. Now what else can we say about the reapers? They were an appreciative bunch. In verse 4 we read of Boaz coming from Bethlehem, and he said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." So there's a good relationship between Boaz and his reapers. "The Lord be with you" was both a means of greeting and also a prayer. It's an expression that spoke of all that happy and holy hearts could wish for and need. "The Lord be with you." And so Boaz expresses his kindness and his love to them, and they in return have expressed their love and appreciation to him. "The Lord bless thee." So it's an expression of appreciation and kindness in both places. The church is the place where God's people gather and where worthy praise is given. The Lord has been good to all of us, and we in return should give him thanks and praise. We should bless the Lord. The psalmist said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." When we assemble together with one another in the field of Boaz, the church of Christ, we come with gratitude in our hearts and glory upon our lips. The Lord has blessed our life, and now we would seek to bless his name. May this truly be a place where the Lord's praise is heard. A place of joy and thanksgiving. Now, there's one last thing we'll say about the reapers. Not only are they assembled together with one another, with hearts filled with blessing and praise and appreciative of all that they've received, but they are active. And that's seen in the very fact that they're reapers. They're workers and laborers in his field. They're not idle. They're involved in the work. They're busy for their master. Is this not a picture of how we should be engaged in the work of God in whatever capacity that we can? To be working with the Lord and for him? I once read about a pastor who kept an appointment every morning at 10 o'clock. If he was in a meeting, he would excuse himself, he would get in his car and he would leave, and no one knew what he was doing or where he was going. Even the church secretary didn't know. His wife didn't know. His best friends didn't know. But every morning at 10, he excused himself and left. And of course, this aroused a little bit of suspicion on the part of the members and the elders and the deacons of the church. And so they decided to investigate. And one day they decided they would follow him. They trailed him to a little place just outside of town, and they watched as he parked his car. He walked over into a little patch of woods, and when they finally caught up to him, he was standing by the side of a railroad track, and he was shouting and cheering and laughing at the top of his lungs and pumping his fist in the air at the passing train. And when the train had passed, the people walked up to him and asked him, "What are you doing?" And he answered, "I just can't help myself. I just get excited when I see something moving, and I'm not the one pushing it." Well, I'm glad I don't have to push to get things done about here. But it's good to be active for the Lord, involved in his work. Not having to be cajoled or your arm twisted, but to be actively engaged and desiring to serve the Lord. Someone said that the church is full of willing people. Some of them willing to work and others willing to let. Well, these people here are reapers. They're in Boaz's field for a particular purpose. They want to serve. They want to be engaged in the work. So one last thought then before we finish. Not just of Boaz's presence in this church, and the people that are there, but his perception. In verse 5, Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" No sooner did Boaz walk into this field that day that he noticed Ruth. It was obvious that he knew everyone else in the field, and he was fully aware when some new person was gleaning even there amongst the sheaves. He recognized her as being someone new. That reminds us, of course, that the Lord is always discerning over us. He saw her. She wasn't just another face in the crowd. These were more than just a group of people in the field. They were individuals of whom he was aware and whose names he knew and their family connections, and he could ask after their wives and their little ones. It thrills our hearts to know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows his own. He knows his own sheep and he calls them by name. And when we gather together, we are more than just a group. We are individuals of whom the Lord knows everything about. And yet he still loves us. He knows us and he sees us. He knows our needs. He knows what we are going through every moment. He knows the burdens of our hearts. There's not one here today that is unnoticed by the Lord. Now, at times we may feel that we're just lost in the crowd, but the Lord sees us personally and individually. His eye is always upon us. There is never a moment that he's not watching. And such a realization can be a comforting thought, that we're never out of sight of the Lord. And so he knows his people. And he sees Ruth. And he asks the question, "Whose damsel is this?" I love Vernon McKee's translation of that verse. He says, "Where in the world has she been that I haven't seen her before?" That's really what's happening here. The best way to describe verse 5 is love at first sight. She has not only caught his eye, but she has captured his heart. "Whose damsel is this?" How blessed it is to know that not only does the Lord see us, but he is graciously drawn to us and gloriously in love with us. Psychologists tell us that one of the great needs of every human heart is to feel loved. And quite often people feel unloved. Well, Let me assure you this afternoon of the love of God. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are never in want of love again. We are loved with everlasting love and led by grace, that love to know. So that means that whoever we are, or whatever we're going through, or whatever our need might be, or wherever we are at, that we can be loved by God. Ruth has caught the eye and the heart of Boaz. And as the situation develops and as days go by, you'll find her to be the great love of his life. And I trust that we will experience and know the love of God as we fellowship amongst his people, as we are gathered in his church, that his presence amongst us will thrill our hearts, that his love for us is not only assured but welcome, and that we will rejoice in that we are known to him and loved by him, and that there's a coming day when we will go to the great wedding feast of the Lord, into that marriage supper, and we'll find that his banner over us will be love. I trust that you'll appreciate just these few thoughts on the field of Boaz, and its picture as a type of the church, and be, well, to be sure that you have your place even amongst the people of God. Come and make your election and your calling sure. We ask in Christ's precious name. Amen.